Welcome to Module 7, Make It Your Own. So, Patty, even though each one of the topics that you selected could actually be a separate program in and of itself, I think the best way to address all of them would be to present some key ideas and principles that are relevant to all of them. Accessing spirit, being present, intention, visualization, and intuition. Because all of these have a single overriding principle in common, and that is to remove the mind from the driver's seat. Because the mind is only one component of who you are in that physical body of yours. So remove the mind from the driver's seat and allow the awareness that inhabits your body, soul, and spirit to take the wheel. Obviously, I don't mean discard your mind entirely, because it's necessary and it does a great job of enabling you to live in the world. But what you're aiming for, as many wisdom traditions teach, is to make the mind a servant to spirit. And so here's my disclaimer before we go any further. It's important to keep in mind that we're talking about using a story to interpret another story. And that when we're using words, we're substituting interpretation for actual experience. That being said, I think we can still use stories as a directional so that we can move our attention from being predominantly externally driven by our attachment to the sensory perceptions going on, to being more internally driven by our inner world. But even then, I'm going to suggest that there might not be such a thing as inner and outer, but I'll get to that later. So as you start paying more attention to your inner sense perceptions and the subtle energies that permeate your reality and your feelings that have been described as the language of the body, you're going to start relying on interpretation less and less to make sense of your experience, because you'll be paying more attention to those energies and the frequencies that make up your experience. Along with that shift from thought to perception, any tendencies that you might have to judge others or yourself are also going to begin to diminish, because you're going to be more attracted, more comfortable when you reside in those positive vibrations that make you feel better and that allow you to resonate at a higher frequency. When you're resonating at that higher frequency, you're perceiving from a wider angle, like a panoramic camera lens, so that you see more and you become aware of more, like how things are connected, what actions that you can take that are going to be the most beneficial for you or for those around you, how you're always supported and guided, and really about how you can make the best of your time here on the planet. You're not going to be using your mind to figure any of this out, because it will be an intuitive, direct knowingness. But you can certainly use your mind, again, as a point of departure. But again, as you recognize these realities, you're going to be resonating with them, because those same frequencies are in your awareness, in your own consciousness. So let's focus on this invitation to access spirit. All the religions and the wisdom traditions, each in their own way, state the same thing, namely that God is everywhere present. That's kind of a stunner of an idea. So how do you feel about this statement? Do you agree with it? Most of us usually just gloss over it and don't give it much thought. But it has mind-blowing implications when you actually consider it. If God is everywhere, the possibility of not being with or not being connected to Spirit, it's impossible. So however you define God or Spirit, let's make our definition here as neutral and all-encompassing as we can. Let's define it, he or she, or all of it, as pure intelligence or pure love, or pure loving intelligence. And if that pure loving intelligence is everywhere present, it means that God or Spirit is inside, it's within your physical body. It's in all the tissues, the cells, the molecules, the atoms, the nucleus and the electrons in the atoms, and even in the space between the nucleus and the electrons within the atoms, and the space between the cells and the molecules and the tissues of your body. So really, just think about that. Even the space inside our bodies is composed of this pure, loving intelligence. And if you ascribed a color to this pure, loving intelligence, like gold, then you'd see the gold glinting through everything. And some people do see it. If this pure, loving intelligence is present everywhere, it's also in your thoughts, in the neurochemicals, the neuropeptides, in the synapses of your brain every time they fire. And if you keep extending this everywhere scenario, the logic will take you to the realization that this pure loving intelligence is also in your feelings, in your sensations. It's in all the chemical reactions taking place in your body. There's no place that this pure loving intelligence doesn't exist. So, if that's true, if that pure loving intelligence is everywhere in your being, and there's nowhere that it isn't, couldn't it be said that you yourself are this pure loving intelligence? If it's everywhere, what about it? And if you keep extending that thought, that pure loving intelligence is in everything else. It's in every rock, every word, every prayer, every argument, every physical or vibrational form. That gold light I mentioned earlier, it's everywhere. It's in everything. So if you're willing to allow yourself to explore even the possibility that this idea is true, then it's a pretty stunning experience to see just how far you can take it. And you can never not be close to or a part of Spirit. But it doesn't mean that just because this pure loving intelligence shines through every form and vibration, that everything that exists is perfect and desirable in that particular form. But it is a reminder that something exists beneath every manifestation, behind every story about manifestation. And that something, that primary cause or awareness, could certainly be called God or Spirit. So there's just no way you could ever be separate from that pure loving intelligence. But if that's the case, why aren't we always aware of it? Well, we can sum up this phenomenon of forgetting in one word: identification. We are so identified with our thoughts and our sensory experiences and the belief that we're separate from everything, that we believe we're just as separate from that pure loving intelligence. Now here again, all the great religions and the wisdom traditions refer to this illusion of separation. Whether you consider the parable of the lost son in the Bible or the story of Siddhartha in the Hindu tradition. The really intriguing element in these stories is the return. Once having gone as far away as possible, there's a turning back or a turning inward to reunite with our true nature or our true home. So you're probably already asking, well, okay, so how do I remember this connection, this beingness, this expression of pure loving intelligence that I am? Because that, of course, would be the key to expanding your intuition and your intention and your presence. So here's one possible way of remembering. And I invite you to find your own particular version of it. There's a technique in neurolinguistic programming, NLP, called anchoring, that enables you to recall a particular state of mind whenever you want. Now, most of us are pretty good at recalling a particular state of mind and a positive feeling state, but very rarely do we do this as a specific technique to change our state of being. But just as an example, you might already put your hand on your heart when you want to go deep within yourself and drop down from your thoughts. Or you might already use a word or a mantra to remind yourself of a spiritual or vibrational state that you want to align with. In NLP, a physical sensation is the anchor to recall the state of mind. Now, you can adapt this technique so that you can remember this pure loving intelligence is who you are at your core, that you are spirit. For instance, by saying to yourself the word everywhere and putting your hand over your heart, or maybe you put your fingers together in a mudra. That's all it needs to be. And this is just one possibility. So if that doesn't feel like quite it for you, tailor this suggestion so it's going to be the most meaningful for you. And make sure you use your own words or some form of physical touch that resonates for you. And can you see how giving yourself this kind of reminder is also going to help you be more present as you go about your day? Being present and remembering yourself as an expression of this pure loving intelligence are really two sides of the same coin. And this is because you're breaking your identification with three aspects of living in the material world, as Madonna would say. First, you're breaking the identification with the meaning or the story that you tell yourself about who you are and who those people are in your life and what everyone's, including your, behaviors and actions mean. Secondly, you're breaking your identification with the apparent solidity, the permanence of the world. Because remember, everything is actually made up more of space than matter. So you will then be able to perceive the consciousness and the energy beneath all activity. Thirdly, you're going to be breaking identification with the validity of what the world considers to be true. In other words, You're going to be breaking identification with your conditioning. And the more present you become to yourself, the more you recognize this dreamlike, passing nature of the world. It doesn't mean everything is meaningless or worthless. It actually means just the opposite. You begin to develop a compassion and a kindness to everything and everyone because you're all in this dream together. And that love that's your true nature just flows into it and through all of it. So then you have an entirely different way of being in the world. You let your light shine because that's the wisest, most intelligent form of action that you can take. And there's no separation between you or anyone or anything because you're all part of that pure, loving intelligence that powers the whole thing. And now I'm going to ask you to go out even farther on this proverbial limb. Remember when I implied that the distinction between inner and outer is just another story that we tell ourselves? So let's look a little more deeply and see how different the reality begins to become for us. Let's look at just a few concepts from quantum physics and Eastern wisdom traditions. And my challenge to you is to let yourself experiment with how these ideas resonate with you. And just find out whether they can help you lean into and trust your inner knowing instead of relying on your thinking mind. So, if the core or the ground of your being is that isness, that awareness, consciousness, spirit, pure loving intelligence, we're referring to the part of you that's permanent, it's timeless and eternal. This is what remains constant. This is the who of you. It's not affected by how much time has passed, where you live, how much you remember or forget. You're still you, despite your body changing and your thoughts changing and even your circumstances changing. Right? With me so far? Okay, so now, here's the question. Is there a boundary to your consciousness, to your awareness? Is there one side that's outside your awareness and everything else is on the inside? And where exactly is it? Where is that boundary? How far out does it go? If you can't find a boundary, can there be anything that you experience that is outside of your awareness? No, not really. So do you see where I'm going with this? If your awareness, that pure intelligence, has no boundaries, then your awareness and your imagination as a tool of your awareness contains every possibility that could ever exist. Every possible experience you could have emerges from inside you. There is nowhere else it could come from, because it's all happening inside that awareness of yours, like a bubble. So when we start talking about intention, we're talking about you going into that imaginal realm of the subconscious, where you create or you imagine a possibility that has a particular energy and a particular frequency, and you align with it or you merge with it through a combination of thought and feeling. And you invite it to express itself in physical form in your world. So you use visualization to envision all the details of implementation or creation. Regardless of whether you're setting an intention or wanting to accomplish a specific goal. If we go to the dictionary defines an intention as an aim or a plan. So you must have heard the expression, I have a mind to, as in, I have a mind to buy that dress or take a trip. So whenever you want something, there's an action that needs to be taken and a goal to be had. And whenever you have a goal, you're in a little bit of danger of projecting your attention into the future, focusing on when and whether that thing will happen. But that future focus can pull you right out of being fully present in the moment. So the injunction to release your attachment to outcome is really well placed. You don't want your attention directed towards a future outcome. What you do want is to be present moment based and then noticing what's showing up in your awareness right now. And this is a subtle, but it's a really important difference. So as you practice setting intentions or having goals, and visualizing them happening, notice what happens to your attention after you've set this goal for yourself or set this intention. Because this movement of your awareness away from the energy of your creative process, this movement towards the expectation of a result, it can actually prevent your intention from manifesting. So the key is always to use a light and a loving touch and to remember that we're just playing with thought and form. So I want to talk a little bit about cultivating the two components of thought and feeling that are part of setting intention, which basically means having a clearly held thought and aligning it with strong positive emotions, which is how you feel as that intention or that goal manifests. And the theory is that thoughts need an emotional charge that's high in vibration in order to manifest. Otherwise, it just doesn't have the power on its own. Now, one example of the power of this combination of thought and feeling is the research done by the HeartMath Institute, in which participants who combined positive feelings like love and appreciation with their focused thoughts produced statistically significant changes in the shape of DNA samples. And this shows that our state of being while we hold a thought in our minds can have a really definite, powerful effect. And then if you look at this process of setting intention from quantum physics, you're tapping into what Joe Dispenza, a chiropractor with training in neuroscience and epigenetic, calls the state in which, quote, all potentials exist simultaneously and the quantum field responds to who we are being, end quote. So think about this. If you translate all this scientific terminology into the language that we're using here, and you substitute the word awareness for quantum field, you can recognize that who we are being is the same thing as our vibrational state. And when the frequency of our thoughts and feelings is strong enough and it's positive enough, that invites or enables the intention to manifest out of all the possible potentials that exist. And every intention comes from you to you. When you have an intention, it's not being attracted to you from outside you. It's actually emerging from within your awareness. You're bringing into existence something you want to show yourself, some aspect of who you are, some expression of your potential. Now, this might be a lot to reflect on, so just take a breath and let it land wherever it will. All I'm doing here is offering you ways to expand your concept of creating something, a form, out of what appears to be nothing, an idea. And while we're talking about intention, there is yet another way to think about it that comes from the Buddhist tradition. So it's not technical or scientific. It has to do with aligning with your values. So in this tradition, setting an intention is about how you want to show up in your life. It's the way you base your responses to life on the values that are important to you. For example, you could set an intention to be open and receptive, no matter what the circumstances. So this kind of an intention gives you a way of being, a sense of meaning, and it helps you stay rooted in what you might call right action, especially when your life gets completely turned upside down. This kind of intention is about the kind of person that you want to be, not what you want to have or you want to do. So this is a very helpful definition of intention because it sets the tone for your response to whatever happens or doesn't happen. You can stay non-attached, not identified with what appears to be the result of your intention or your visualization. Because even after all your intending and allowing and letting go, if that intention does manifest, you might not feel about it how you imagined that you would. You might even be disappointed or think, "Ugh, it happens." But if you're grounded in an intention of being, whatever happens is okay. And you can still be flexible and present and compassionate to all of it. So, given all those ways of thinking about intention, let me suggest a really good way to get ready to create it. First, you want to get so quiet and so still that you completely lose your identification with your body and your name and who you think you are. You are resting in Kairos time, beyond linear time, outside of three-dimensional space. And although it might sound like you're disappearing, you're actually becoming one, or remembering that infinite creative potential of your awareness. So, as I mentioned before, this infinite potential is the source of, or the ground of being. And it's from here, this creative womb, that your desires and your intentions can be created, brought into being. And the best way to get quiet and still is to develop a practice of going within yourself, a form of meditation, unhitching your mind so that your energy can be completely focused on what it is that you want to create. And this doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out, time-consuming process. But think of it more like a softening and an opening of your mind, dropping down from thought and the world of form to the world of being and creation. And it could take 5 minutes or 10 minutes in that quiet place. So once you've gotten to that place, it might even take less time, especially if you're practicing other self-care techniques. But once you're in that receptive, creative womb, you can make use of the practices that you've begun in the earlier modules. You can get very clear about what you want and combine that thought about what you want with positive thoughts of not only how it would feel, how it would affect you, how it would affect other people around you, but include gratitude and love. You want to just love that idea into being. Keeping it all in the present tense, in the now, as you describe it, as if it's already here. So you're bypassing whatever your senses are telling you is not here. You are creating it and bringing it to life. So you're not just coming up with an idea. You're letting yourself express something new about who you are. Now, even here, in this creative process, there's always the possibility of the mind resisting. So you might hear thoughts like, I can't make this happen, or this isn't possible. Then it's important to remember you already have the tools to question whether these thoughts are true. And if they're not, you know how to let them go. I like to call it the kiss and release technique. So that as you let it go, you are maintaining positive, trusting thoughts. And you're letting go of the outcome as well as the thoughts that are resisting. Doing that will affect your personal frequency. And it's going to allow it to vibrate at a high enough level to actually invite what you want into your lived experience. And that's the whole point, right? Talking about the theory behind these practices can get pretty expansive. But the point of view I want to suggest is that what happens to you may all be originating inside you. Maybe nothing depends on outer circumstances. You're not attracting anything from the other side, from the outside. Maybe there isn't any such thing as out there. But you are showing yourself yet another aspect of who you are as a creative being. And ultimately, your life is not about accomplishment or productivity. It's about letting the truth of your being shine with its own integrity, its own authenticity, its own clear awareness, and its own true love. And along the way, you get to choose who you are and how you show up. Isn't that great?